Hi, I'm Jingle Jared. In my former occupation, I was the biggest jingle writer of all time. Now, I'm looking for a new job, speaking to every entrepreneur that I can find so I can find out what it's like to transition from one career to another. All of this expert advice has become the bedrock for a podcast I'm calling Occupational Therapy. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hey there. Hey, Dennis Quaid is here.
That's right.
And guess what? I have a podcast. It's called The Denissance, and I think you should listen. I'm having some really cool conversations with some really interesting people like music legend Billy Ray Cyrus, housewife of Beverly Hills Garcelle Bouvet, and many, many more.
Listen to The Denissance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to Lips LA with Scott Lips.
Our show today is brought to you by the fine folks at Thursday's Boot Company. You guys have seen me rocking these boots in every other picture I have on Instagram. I'm always repping them. Thursday's Boots is a bootstrap startup that makes the best handcrafted boots and sells them direct to consumer at some of the lowest markups in the footwear industry. Thursday's Boots tagline is highest quality, honest prices, because they use some of the best materials like full grain leather, supple glove leather lining, and gold standard Goodyear welt construction. Thursday's Boot Company sells their boots at prices starting at just $149 with free shipping and returns. They've been featured in all the best fashion press, from Esquire to GQ to Cosmo and Vogue. And more importantly, they've gotten over 20,000 five-star reviews from real customers. Thursday's boots are perfect for people who understand quality and don't want to pay a high retail markup for a great-looking pair of boots that are built to last. So check them out at Thursday's Boots on Instagram. My favorite shoes, my favorite boots. You always see me repping them. You'll love it.
You're listening to Lips LA with Scott Lips.
Hey guys, it's Scott Lips, and you are listening to another episode of Lip Service, coming to you live today from my living room. We all have to adjust a little bit because of what's been going on in our culture. Hopefully everyone's safe and sound. Just remember, if you like the show, please remember to subscribe, rate the show, tell a friend, tell 10 friends. The show is available on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere. And coming up in just in a moment, my friend, Josh Wyatt, who I believe is calling in right now, who is the CEO of Noia House.
You're listening to Lips LA with Scott Lips.
Josh, I had to give you a great introduction, but I didn't even get time to do it yet because this is a new way of recording for me.
It's so cool.
Josh is actually in London right now. How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
You sounded good over here on this Zoom call. This is the first time I've actually done a Zoom podcast, to be honest with you. So it's good to see your face. Truth be told, we're friends. We do live in close proximity some of the time. We don't think where we live, but we definitely live very close to each other. We're neighbors. We're friends. And Josh, I was just about to give you a illustrious introduction. You're the CEO of Noia House, I believe, for the last 18 months or so.
That's right, last 18 months.
That's 18 months, making big waves. Obviously, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to get you on the show is to talk about your innovation and talk about the fact that you are definitely a trendsetter in the space, and obviously how the pandemic affects your business, how it affects small businesses, big businesses. You just launched a new spot, and you're in the process, I believe, of launching, besides the Bradbury building downtown, which is brand new for you. It couldn't be worse timing, obviously. Miami, Venice, there's so much going on with Noia House. For those of you who don't know Noia House, Josh, why don't we give them a little bit of context too on, you know, what Noia House is, how you came to be at the company, just a little bit of background about it. You know, a lot of the show is based on your path and journey, but obviously this show is going to be center mostly on what's happening now in culture with the coronavirus, small businesses, big businesses, your business, being a CEO, and how it affects everything in your business and your life.
Yeah, so my journey started with Noia House about 18 months ago. And, you know, I came across the company when I was looking to try to start something new. And ironically, you know, the mission of Noia House is actually called Home of the New. And it's really focused on the creative communities and bringing together companies, people, and ideas all wrapped within this beautiful, high, amazingly designed space in New York, right near Madison Square, and in Hollywood on Sunset, very close to where Scott and I live, and then our newest site in downtown LA. And the ethos of the company has always been around bringing people together. And that's obviously like an interesting point given where we're headed, post-corona. And we'll talk about that later on in the show. But one of the things that always attracted me to Neuhaus, and since I have come in as CEO, is Neuhaus's focus and mission on this sense of creative collision. So it's bringing ideas and people together and creating this sense of positive friction, whereby the result of that is incredible ideas, groundbreaking companies, music albums, movies, screenplays, fashion ideas and concepts, digital media, the list goes on of these movements that have been born inside of Neuhaus and then have flourished, whether inside of Neuhaus or sometimes they outgrow it. Additionally, about 6 months ago, we got ready to launch a new concept, which was called the Neuhaus Salon, which was really looking at the industry and saying, hey, there's a need for people to come together and really socialize in a different way, in a new way. So there's, you know, I'm a huge fan of lifestyle hotels and nightclubs and amazing restaurants. But we felt that there was a place in the market where after work, you know, maybe before people go to the nightclubs or the big restaurants, that they would want a place to decompress for a little bit, have an amazing glass of wine, talk about some incredible issues or see some great programming, and then go on to the rest of their evening. So we launched Neuhaus Salon in February of this year, which obviously couldn't be the worst possible timing. So we went through this huge initiative, launching Bradbury with new bars, new restaurants, launching our programming platform, or I should say actually doubling down on our existing programming platform, all within the hope of, or the goal of, really expanding the company, across the United States. And obviously here we are today, call it 4 weeks later, 6 weeks later, very different world.
Very different world. And just to rewind for a second, because we're going to get into that different world and where we're at today, Josh, I mean, obviously it's affecting everyone, but your path and your journey sort of started, I believe before this, you were actually at Equinox and you were running hotels there for Harvey, right? Wasn't that sort of your role?
That's right. Yeah. So before Neuhaus, I spent about a year working for Harvey Spivak and the team at Equinox, which I was very lucky in the sense that a previous company that I'd started called Generator had sold in May of 2000 or April of 2017. And so that sort of unlocked some opportunity and some financial flexibility for me to go on and try something new and a little more, a little more sort of, called smaller. Equinox is it's probably, I think, frankly, the best company in the world right now in terms of design, fitness, lifestyle, hospitality. There's no question. I mean, they coming out of this, they probably will be quite even stronger. But it was so big that I just felt that doing something a little more bespoke, or analog was up my alley, and that's how I got involved with Neuhaus.
And for the people that don't really know Neuhaus, Josh, I mean, it's sort of like Soho House meets a sort of work environment, right? And I know Soho House just launched their own work environment, but I guess the difference would be between WeWork and Neuhaus and all the other shared spaces that are there. What would you say more from a cultural standpoint? It's sort of on the, because you guys are doing stuff with Freeze now. You're definitely more in touch with than some of the other spaces, the cultural entertainment side of things, the artistic side. And I know that's also sort of a desire and passion of yours, right?
So yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I mean, so Neuhaus is, it's very hard to define, and we sort of like it that way. It's this, oftentimes this little mysterious, nut to crack, but we are at the intersection of the social private members club. So Soho House, Zero Bond, some of these other great private, Annabelle's in London, where those clubs are really focused on the social element. We have elements of that. We have, as I mentioned earlier, we're launching this new salon, but then we then have workspaces. So we house companies and individuals within our spaces where they do their daily work there. The major difference is that we wrap all that within this high design, deeply sophisticated cultural programming, and we really focus exclusively on the creative communities. So there are many other workspaces out there, whether it's WeWork or other brands, who don't necessarily have a defined mission. We have a defined mission to really serve and support the creative communities. And that's why we have all these incredible stories coming out of Neuhaus. And in a way, we're almost like a broadcast platform, because these creatives that come into Neuhaus are working in the fields of music, in the fields of art, fashion, entertainment, digital media. And some of the members that we have are just world-class leaders in their space, or they will be world-class leaders. So we have anything from the highly established, deeply successful music executive, Paul Rosenberg, who manages Eminem, just moved into New York, for example. Barbara Sturm of Sturm Cosmetics is housed out of New York, Neuhaus. Versus sometimes we have younger entrepreneurs that are just starting up. And the benefit of all these people together is that there's this creative collision happening in the four walls every day, like molecules bouncing off each other. And that's something that served us very well. It's very unique. You just don't see it in the space today, where you have this super high performance environment, all within the construct of a very, very sort of warm and accepting area where people can really sort of be themselves creatively.
Yeah, so let's talk about leading up to the pandemic and obviously everything that's affected all of our lives in the last month or month and a half. You have how many offices currently, and you're about to launch a few, and about how many employees?
So we have three open Neuhauses, so New York, Hollywood, and downtown LA. And then we just announced at the end of February, Venice Beach, which was meant to open end of this year in 2020. Yeah, so we have about 250 employees spread across three open properties. And then we just announced two new properties in Venice Beach and Miami, in the Wynwood area of Miami, due to open at the end of 2020. So 250 active employees, probably another 100 employees due to be hired later this year to run Miami and Venice. So this is an incredibly sad time for us. It's an incredible challenge emotionally to have to deal with all this.
So let's take it back for a minute. You get the call about, obviously, things are heating up in the space. We're watching the press conferences. It's about a month and a half ago, and people are starting to make the decisions to close their offices. I actually have my office in another shared working environment. Everyone slowly, like day by day, was getting less and less populated, up until the point where I felt I had to make a call. And I still vividly remember it was a Thursday a few weeks back. And by that Friday, I feel like everyone was out of those spaces. So at what point did you decide, with all these employees and all the people that were co-working your space, that you needed to make that call?
So we made a call way before actually anyone else did in the space. So our position on this was, I think, way ahead of the curve, and it was the right thing to do. So it really started to get bad, the second week in March. So March 5th, which was a Thursday in New York, we had a big party for the Armory Show, which is a big art fair. And I was looking around, I was reading what was happening in New York. And again, you have to remember, a month ago was very different from today. But, I felt that it wasn't right to continue to do events. So we shut down events on March 6th. And then the following week, we started to look at an increasingly bad picture and scary picture in Europe. Now, I'm actually doing this call and the show from London right now. So I spend time between London and LA. And so I get a lot of my news from Europe. And I have a lot of friends that live in Italy and Spain and France. And they were telling me how bad it is there. And this is way before.
By the way, what is the atmosphere in London right now? Because we hear about it, but we don't know.
It's eerily quiet. I mean, it's not as bad as New York City, but people are dying here. It is going to be, I think the worst is going to hit next week. But people take the isolation very seriously. I mean, it's totally deserted streets. Nothing is open. It's the weather here is not nearly as nice as LA. So you do not see people, on social media going outside and taking pictures of themselves working out, or going around the city. People are definitely sheltering inside here. It's a different vibe from LA, and New York. I mean, all three cities I think are going to get hit, or have been hit very badly. And, unfortunately, I think in London, it's going to get a little bit worse probably in the next week or two. It's tough. It's really tough.
It is. And you find you think that people are abiding by the stay-at-home rules in London, or they're
they are now. I think everyone. Look, I mean, I think anyone who was in denial, you know, up until maybe 10 days ago, I think has been changed. I think, you know, I think everyone understands now how serious it was, but, you know, let's go back to the decision for us to close. Like a month ago in New York, people were running around at these big parties and everyone's working. And I started to see these news reports and I said, there's no way that we can stay open like this. And, you know, we were following what Cuomo was saying, what de Blasio was saying. And ultimately, way before they decided to start to shut things down, we took a view to shut the whole company down. So March 16th, which was about a week ahead of the forced shutdowns, we shut the entire company. We took a view that we were going to be shut at least for a month, probably for longer. And ultimately, that was the right call. We immediately refunded and put on freeze our membership dues for everyone, which was unlike many other brands.
I don't want to get into trouble here, but there's been some press recently, and obviously I don't want to get into the middle of anything. But I will say that's the right thing to do. I myself have been involved in something where I feel like the right thing to do would be either to freeze the rent, refund it. I don't know how. It's kind of hard to charge people rent when you can't legally go to an office, right?
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you guys took that initiative, and I feel like socially it's the right thing to do. I know that I feel like you have a very, for you, the social responsibility to your employees and just, you know, the community has always been a really big thing. So how do you get through a time like this? As a CEO of 250 employees, I have 5 or 6 and I struggle with, you know, there's a stimulus package. It's not easy. There's a lot of red tape. As you know, Josh, it's not like you sign a piece of paper and they send you money the next day. You're jumping through hoops. They literally changed the form this morning from last night. Like, it's so complicated. And so as a guy that has 250 employees underneath him, let's say this thing goes on for 6 months. I mean, you know, what's
Well, yeah, if it goes on for 6 months, I think we're all in deep trouble. I mean, look, I think all we can do as leaders, you know, and you have, you know, a longstanding track record, you know, in the space as being a business owner, a leader, and what you do, an innovator. Right now, I think we all have to work together to survive. I mean, I think this is going to be the hardest, most difficult weeks, months of our lives. I think to say anything else, frankly, would be naive or dishonest. You know, my goal with our members and with my staff is to make it through the next 3 months. I think we'll be closed until the end of May. We're planning for that financially. It's taken a huge toll on the company and on our investors and our board, which I have, you know, a deep amount of respect for and sympathy for. It's taken huge personal and mental toll on our employees. And, you know, our goal is to figure out how to manage through and be ready to reopen and reopen, not from the standpoint of, hey, we got to make money again. I view my company now as almost like a social good. I'm just trying to create jobs at this point, because that's the best that I can do as a human being in this society, is just try to help people where I can to get them back to work and to get my members back working. And
Would you say you have a strategy in place for where this is going? I mean, have you thought out the next 3 months, 6 months? You know,
we've thought out the next 3 months. I mean, beyond that, honestly, I think it's too hard to forecast. But we've thought out, like, what is, first of all, we're taking, just like I think anyone should, whether you're in business or just personally, you should take stock of where you are in life, you know, and take time to think about what's important. We're doing that as a business. So what's important to us? You know, let's take the next 2 months, which will be quiet, to really try to make things better internally. Really focus on like getting things sharpened and make them very nice. So when we reopen, we'll be better than we were before we closed. Again, personally, I think the same way. Like, there's so many things I can work on as an individual, whether it's being healthier, being more mentally, you know, sort of focused, being smarter. You know, I'm taking the quiet time right now to do all that for myself as an individual. And I think every business should do that as well. Same thing with creatives. You know, I hope we come back, and, you know, you and I are both big fans of music. Like, I hope we come back and like the music scene just is incredible in Q4.
I mean, it will be because people have time to write music now. So
that's what I mean.
All
like,
the artists
I
are
mean,
creating great albums. Yeah, I hope, you know?
Yeah. No one's touring. I just feel like we should have. It should be a renaissance of music and art in like 2021. Like it will take 6 months to produce albums and, you know, get the art into the museums or the shows. But like, if you're a fan of culture and a fan of art and entertainment, like 2020 is going to be, it's a write-off, but 2021 should be the most amazing year of our collective lives because everything should explode. It's going to be movies coming out every day and music. It's going to be amazing. I mean, that's the optimism that I have for the situation.
Yeah. And I'm an optimistic person. So obviously I want to think the same. I feel like even getting back into the workforce though, the dynamic of how people work is going to change, right? You guys have a setup, sort of the interiors of your business are sort of people sit like side by side. So think about the social distancing that's taking place now and how slowly, eventually people will start to get back to work. It's going to change everything, right? It's going to change ideally the layout of your offices too, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, so we're already thinking about that. We're talking to our designers and trying to figure out what is the, you know, post-corona environment look like. One thing that we're a little bit lucky with Neuhaus is we, in the public spaces at least, we had originally designed the public spaces to be quite large and open with a lot of different breakout spaces and space between seats and desks. So in actual public spaces, I think we sort of got lucky. You know, the new property in Bradbury is very open and airy and very spread out. So I think we'll be okay in some of our spaces. And I think in other areas, we're going to have to come up with design solutions to make people feel more comfortable with respect to interacting with people. So that could be take the form of putting plexiglass, you know, sort of guards between desks, you know, so that people sneeze, that's blocked. It could be, how do we prepare food in this new environment? Every restaurateur is going to have to think about how they run their restaurant now in terms of cleanliness, right?
I don't know about you, but do you go to the grocery store in London?
No, definitely not anymore.
Because I have major anxiety when I go. People don't literally give you the space. They're right on top of you here. And so the only time to really go is either really early in the morning or late at night where it isn't that crowded.
Yeah.
And I feel like you just have a higher probability of coming into contact with people who might be sick. And so I have major anxiety. You know, I was picking up some items for a friend of mine the other day, and they were like, hey, can you get me this type of cheese? And I was like, listen, I'm getting in and out of this place. Like, I'm grabbing the first wine I see, the first cheese I see. If I'm not getting the Tillabook, then you know, whatever type of cheese that you're specifically, you know, looking for, unfortunately, it is what it is, you know?
Yeah,
it's a tough time.
I think everything is going to change. And I think that the companies that recognize that and do something quickly will survive. And I think those who, you know, think, hey, life will be back to normal by August or July are going to be in for real trouble, you know, and we're already thinking about it. I definitely think that human beings, even in the last 4 weeks and the next 8 weeks, are already self-teaching themselves how to be distant from people. I personally think, so I'm an extrovert and I like hanging out and going to places. For me, this is going to be really difficult. I'm not sure how. I love going to concerts. I love going to full packed restaurants. I want to be in a packed restaurant versus an empty one. So I don't know how I'm going to handle it going forward, you know, and it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully with the right design, you can still get the buzz and the energy of everything at a great concert or a great nightclub or a great restaurant. But still create the sense that there's safety, that there's cleanliness, you know, all those things.
Yeah, you and I are almost exactly the same, and that's why we're friends, Josh, because we both thrive on that energy of going out and you know, we love people and we love being around people. But are there certain like thought leaders now that you are sort of tuning into, whether it be podcast or, you know, any kind of media that you're looking to for guidance during a really challenging time like this? Because obviously we're all looking for information. The information's coming at you from every angle. Some of it's real, some of it's not real. You know, and it's hard to disseminate what to really take to heart to know what to do moving forward. But as a CEO, it's interesting for me to you know, for a guy like you that has 250 employees, who are you looking to for guidance? By the way, as we speak, I keep getting these buzzes because I don't even know how to work these, like trying to figure out how to do this Zoom thing. But it's challenging. I have my emails going off. I got my phone going off. This is modern. This is adapting to the modern age. So sorry, listeners, if you guys hear some beeps, and I'm really trying to figure this out. I'm taking my notes from my email on this, putting them onto my notes so you don't hear beeps and bobs. But we're all adapting, and we all have to reinvent ourselves during a time period like this.
Absolutely. I think that's wise advice. You know, I think how we think about the information that we're receiving, how we're communicating with people now, whether it's Zoom or house party or FaceTime or WhatsApp, it has changed. It's changed in 4 weeks. And, you know, I'm analog too. You know, it's trying to figure out how to use all this stuff. I'm not a huge technology guy. I like analog. And I think that, again, I'm trying to adapt as fast as I can. But I think in terms of information right now, I'm using this some of the free time I have to expand my horizons, because, you know, when you're running a company, you just don't have the intellectual time sometimes to think and to read. So it's actually been somewhat pleasant in the sense that I can now go back to some of the people that I admire and follow their podcasts and look at what's going on. So like a good recent example is Reid Hoffman, who runs Masters of Scale, just did he does this podcast. I think it's every couple of days it comes out now. And his most recent guest or guest last week was Danny Meyer. And that's sort of like a must listen, because Danny Meyer, you know, is probably the most successful and powerful restaurateur in New York City. And in literally a week, his business is done. I mean, completely done.
Oh, you mean
It's Shake Shack and Union Square Hospitality. He runs 19 high-end restaurants in New York. In addition to Shake Shack, he is you know probably the top restaurateur in the United States, I would argue, in terms of his ability to build incredible brands and restaurants and then go mass market with Shake Shack. And his business is over, you know, and it will come back in some form, but it's going to be very different. And I think, you know, listening to him talk about that experience was very illustrative for all of us, whether you're running a 2-person company or a 20,000 person company. So well, that was
taking advice on where it's going. Cause obviously he has a huge overhead. If he has not, I mean, hospitality, as you know, is hard enough, and to have 19 establishments, Shake Shack kills it. But on the other end, he has some very high end restaurants too, that he probably had to lay off almost all the staff. Right. And
yeah, I mean,
so what was his take on this?
Well, I mean, this is the first thing is there's not much you can do. So, you know, you have to do what you think is right for the long-term viability of the business. So doing a furlough or a layoff, which is, it's virtually the same thing. There's some legal technicalities between the two, but I'd argue doing a furlough is better than a layoff. But the reality is you have to start thinking like a long-term leader or investor, which is, if you want to be around next year, you're going to have to do those layoffs, because you can't continue to employ people when you have zero revenue. Now, not everyone understands that. So there may be people that are very upset by that. But the goal of any company should be to figure out how to survive post this crisis and how to get people back to work. That is, it is a wartime situation. I mean,
I listened to a great, Dr. Ferrucci, who's obviously the leading doctor. Yep. He said, there was a great quote that he said yesterday. He said, it's in the eyes of war, it's all very foggy or something like that. And, you know, yep. You can't see through the fog in the eyes of war or something. So when you're in the thick of it, it's very hard. And in retrospect, people go back and say, we should have closed the borders earlier. It was moving so fast. Sometimes we didn't really know what was going on. But
no, absolutely.
But I, no, but I do you have thoughts on like the stimulus package and everything that's going on now in terms of like what a company like yours would do?
Yeah. So I like everyone else. And as you mentioned, I mean, so the stimulus, the PPP package opened up today, and Jesus, I mean, it's totally crazy and wild and no one knows. And, you know, there's only one bank that's actually officially processing loans today, and that's Bank of America. We bank with Chase. We're trying to get them to do it on Monday, but it's, All I can say is I think patience, tenacity, and working through all the bureaucratic nightmare that's unfolding will yield results. I actually do believe that the stimulus package is good. I think that the fact that, you know, you can get this huge payroll coverage which realistically, I don't think it'll pay out in the next couple of weeks, but let's call it 4 to 8 weeks. The goal then is to go to your employees and to communicate transparently with them and to say, look, I can't employ you right now because I have no revenue, but give me time. As your CEO or as you know your owner or as your manager, I know that you are frustrated. I know that you may not be happy with the fact that you're furloughed or laid off, but please just work with me here to let me help this business so the business can help you. So I think that sense of working through the process and in parallel to your staff being vulnerable and transparent and just saying, hey man, be with me on this one. I know you may not fully believe me, but I'm really trying my best here for you and for everyone in the company to get everyone back to work. And that sort of wartime analogy of we're all soldiers on the front line right now, right? And there's bullets flying everywhere. There are people that are going down left and right to us. And our goal as a society should be to figure out how to get everyone back to safety and up and running again. So that's sort of how I think about it, you know, with the bailout packages, with all the stuff we're trying to do with our investors and our customers, our members, is to say, hey, let us work with you. And there's a light at the end of the tunnel. We get reopened in end of May, June, July. Beyond July, not getting open, I think as a society, I honestly don't know what would happen. I mean, I think you have to get back open by the summer.
We definitely don't want to think like that. But
yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say, interesting enough, it's funny, you know, they release this, is it the PPE? Is that what you're talking about?
PPP, yeah, the PPP.
Yeah, okay, so they release this PPP. What it is, it basically allows you to keep some employees hired under a certain salary. I think the loans are forgivable for a couple months, I believe, right?
Correct.
But they released it last night. I actually filled out some paperwork, and by this morning, the paperwork had changed the rate.
It's different, yeah.
So, they're not making it easy. So, it's not. But yeah, let's all think positive. And one last thing I wanted to leave you with, Josh. I know sort of the motto about sort of when you took over and your sort of approach to the company has been curiosity, generosity, and authenticity, right? So just talk a little bit about like how you view being a CEO, you know, the future of hopefully your company in this climate and hopefully where it's all going, you know, if we're looking ahead when things get back to normal.
So when I came in, we developed these core values, as you mentioned, authenticity, curiosity, generosity. And I think that really captures or personifies the spirit of Neuhaus, not only of our employees, but our members. But I've added two additional words subsequent to that in the last 4 weeks, which is vulnerability and transparency. I think in the post-corona world, when we all get back to work, that leaders and companies and brands and people will be rewarded if they are transparent and they're vulnerable and they say, hey, I don't have the answers. Hey, it's completely messed up right now. I'm trying to do my best as a company, or I'm trying to do my best as a leader or a manager. And I have your genuine best interest at heart, right? Whether it's for our employees or for our customers and our members and our event clients. So, you know, those values we really take to heart. You know, I take to heart as a human being and as a leader. And I just going through this entire experience, over the last 6 weeks, and clearly this will go on for some time, I just think it's just such a deeply emotional experience that I'm actually happy to share. You know, I'm happy to, you know, we a lot of people keep a mask on in their daily life, right? We all wear masks, especially the industry that you and I are in, right? We're going out all the time. We have to be seen to be happy, and we have to be seen to be successful and social and confident. I think it's okay in this post-corona world to say, hey, we don't have all the answers. We're not always confident. There are things that are happening. This has been challenging. And if we own that, I think people will gravitate towards wanting to support you and wanting to be around you, whatever be around that person means in the post-corona world, virtual or physical.
No question. I can only imagine where it's all going to go, because now it's like, it's all about virtual dating and virtual Zoom meetings and the house parties. And, you know, people are like having all the online concerts. So I can only imagine what the future holds and where we're going to be in the next 6 to 12 months. But I guess if we all stay positive and bound together, hopefully we can all make it through this, it's a terrible time, but I'm trying to use my energy in a positive way.
Absolutely. I think, you know, the sense of optimism and hope, you have to have it in dark times. And if you look at some of the great leaders, you know, who have been able to make it through wartime situations or through disaster situations, or just through like interesting sort of challenging survival situations. Like if you look at, you know, some great leaders in the history of the Navy or of sailing, where people get like marooned and they're stuck for 9 months and they make it through, you know, we can all do this, guys. You know, we're all in this together. And I think if we remain positive, again, accepting the vulnerabilities, it's okay to be down. It's okay to, you know, admit that and to be, you know, to sort of have a sense of melancholy at times. But I think we have to balance that with optimism, and we have to lean on people. We have to lean on our friends and our partners to make it through and to come out of this really positive on the rebound when we do all get back.
Yeah, I'm going to refer back to a previous podcast I did with a friend of mine named Joey Benna that actually was in a medically induced coma that got coronavirus while I was in Italy recently, Josh.
And he said
something pretty, you know, that put things in perspective for me. And although we're referring to things that happened many years ago, he said, you know, Anne Frank lived in a closet for 7 years.
Yep.
And didn't have the luxuries that we have of Netflix, food delivery.
Yeah.
You know, an animal, TV, workout machine. It's like everything you can do inside and, you know, discover your passions, find your inner peace, whatever it may be. But, you know, now's the time to reflect and maybe even make yourself a better person. And so while it is really challenging, that did put things in perspective. So I just thought it was an interesting way to look at things. So
I couldn't agree more. It's absolutely, you know, there's been times in history that are, you know, so disruptive and in a way, you know, far worse than this right now. And we've made it through. So I think having that sense of collective spirit and acceptance, I think will get us all through.
Definitely. Well, it's great to have you on, brother. I hope I see you again one of these days. I mean,
I know.
Knowing it might be 6 months, but hopefully a lot sooner. So.
All right, man. Yeah, I look forward to it. It's good to see your face as well.
You too. Take care in London. We'll speak soon.
You're listening to Lips LA with Scott Lips.
Hey guys, do you use an electric toothbrush? Well, I can honestly tell you, Quip is the best electric toothbrush in the whole world. Take it from me. I've been using this toothbrush for many years. It's incredible. Makers of the Quip electronic toothbrush want you to know that one single discovery that matters most for your dental care is simply this, that if you have good habits, you are good. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/J right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/J, spelled GETQUIP.com/J. Quip, the good habits company. And let me talk about this toothbrush for just a moment here, guys. I have been in this game for quite a while. I've used many, many different electronic toothbrushes. This is the best one. It has a timer built in, so while you're brushing your teeth, after 30 seconds, you know to move it. You don't have to think about it. It charges automatically. It's super portable. You can take it anywhere. I'm obsessed with this toothbrush. I've been using this toothbrush for many years. I love it.
Well, hey there. Hey, Dennis Quaid is here.
That's right.
And guess what? I have a podcast. It's called The Denisance, and I think you should listen. I'm having some really cool conversations with some really interesting people like music legend Billy Ray Cyrus, housewife of Beverly Hills, Garcelle Bouvet, and many, many more.
Listen to The Denisance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Zach Selwyn. You may remember me as a host from ESPN, Attack of the Show, or even Immortalized, that competitive taxidermy show on AMC. We lasted one episode. Anyway, three times a week, I'm bringing you the realest fake news of the day. It's the Saturday Night Live news desk, but in an audible format. Listen to the Audio Up News Network on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.